What? Just take a picture, Andy. Don't keep recording it. Thank you, though. I believe it's being recorded and it's going to be on a podcast tomorrow, so. Good morning, everyone. It is, it's great to be here, and it's great to be in the pulpit sharing with all of you. And I asked Tina a couple months ago, I guess, what it was that she thought might be a good scripture to focus on, and any particular topic. So almost immediately I heard back the first chapter of the book of Philippians. And so here I am to share my reflections on that text. But first, what I want to do is to say that I bring greetings as your area conference minister. I have a long title, the area conference minister of the Southeast region of the Southern New England Conference of the United Church of Christ. Thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah, I bring greetings on behalf of our 25 or so churches here in this association, and 104 churches in my region, and over 600 churches in our conference. There is lots going on in the conference for all of you to partake in, and I'm sure that Reverend Tina and Reverend Jenny give you all that information. But if you ever are wondering if you might have missed something or you're looking for something particular, please go on our website, sneucc.org, and that has all the information about what's happening on a conference level. And we are all in covenant together, meaning the work of the conference really is for the work of you in this church. And my commitment as your ACM is to continue to help you grow in health and vitality now and in the days ahead. So I bring you greetings. So friends, just join me with a moment of prayer. Loving God, quiet our hearts and open our ears to the word, the moment, the truth, the message that you might have for us. Whether it's being curious about the tracks that we leave in our lives, whether it's being open to the power of coming and worshiping together as your people, whether it's thinking about what strangers may come and receive soup on Wednesday that you might make friends with. Now, God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be acceptable to you, our strength and our Redeemer, and let the people say, amen. Amen. So I do my final kind of review of the sermon Sunday morning, assuming that God might have, inspired me over the Saturday into Sunday morning time frame. And I was going over it, and I was thinking to myself, you know, I was just inspired by something, and I felt really moved to channel somebody who you may know, and I want you to sing along with me. I was feeling like I should channel Josh Groban. You raise me up so I can walk on sand on mountains again. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. Now that's basically the sermon. So frankly, if we could go to the benediction and coffee hour, if you want, or because basically he just said it all for us. Friends, I ask you the question. Whose shoulders do you stand on? Who reminds you that you are loved, that you are worthy, that you are destined to live out God's dream of love and justice? that you are destined for great things. We all need people to remind us who we are and to whom we belong. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
I am sure that Reverend Tina and Reverend Jenny remind you each and every week, multiple times, that you are all beloved children of God and that God has given you all that you need to be faithfully brave and bold as individuals and as a collective church body to live out your vision and mission as a church community. Friends, whose shoulders do you stand on? Who is the wind beneath your wings? Who reminds you that you are loved unconditionally? You are worthy and you are destined for great things. Now, a little aside, many of you may not know this, but one of the challenges with living with a pastor or growing up in the home of a preacher is that you often find yourself in a sermon illustration. Yeah. Not everybody always laughs about it. Case in point, this week I have two children. My daughter Lucy is 26-ish. No, 26 for sure. My son is 24. My daughter is a third-year medical student, which I cannot believe. It just blows my mind. So she's a third-year medical student, and those of you who know about medicine know that, you know, it's not for slouches, right? And it's pretty anxiety-producing. And she's in rotations now, so she has to, like, go do 3 weeks here, 3 weeks here, 3 weeks here, and then she gets tested. And it's okay the first test you take because, you know, you can always take a retest, right? But if you don't pass the first test, then you have to take a retest. And I asked Lucy, what happens if you don't pass the retest? And she was like, I don't know. But to me, she sounded like the world was just going to fall apart if she didn't pass the retest. So one test she didn't completely pass. I don't know, completely pass? I guess she didn't pass. Doesn't matter. So she had to retake the surgery. And you might be happy to know if she becomes a surgeon that actually eventually she does pass a test about surgery, right? You want to know that your surgeon has passed all their tests appropriately. But she was going to go and take the test. But she was appropriately nervous and came and talked with me. And she said, you know, I just need to visualize a positive outcome. So she calls mom. So we're talking. And as we talked, I reminded her of the things that were true. She was bright, she was brilliant, she made it this far. If med school was easy, everybody be doing it. It's not. You're doing it. You're rocking it. And then as I'm trying to encourage her to remember what was true and increase her confidence, all of a sudden I was like filled with all the people I knew in her life that loved her, including those who had gone before. I said, Lucy, and she knows I'm a preacher. She's like, Lucy, you are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. That's from Hebrews. And they are so proud of you, and they are rooting for you to run this good race. That's Paul, Apostle Paul. And then I just started to, I said, you know, Pop-Up, my father, her grandfather, I said, if Pop-Up was here, he would be so proud of you. He would be like telling the person at the gas station, oh my God, did you know that my granddaughter is going to become a doctor? She's a third year med student, right? And at the grocery store, he'd be telling everybody. And I said, and everybody's so proud. So I was just, you know, kids, in the best of all times, they can come and stand on our shoulders and remember who they are and whose they are. Always, we need people to remind us who we are and whose we are, and encourage us when we're forgetting, when we start to feel insecure, fearful, lacking confidence, that we have the power we need to do what is in front of us. Even though Paul was incarcerated, he did not neglect his duties to support and encourage and remind his fledgling new church start, to keep up the good work, the Philippians, to be brave and bold in their faith and remember that he and all the churches that he was starting, they were all together in partnership for God. And when Tina gave me this text, I said to myself, wow, it couldn't have been easier, because I love this. It's a love letter, right? I love what Paul has to say, and I want to pick out three. Good sermon has 3 points, usually. Since the pandemic, probably two, but you're going to get three. Okay. So, 3 points. I'm going to pick out 3 pieces of the... Paul says, I thank my God every time I remember you. He's telling this church, this new church. He's in jail. He's telling this new church, I thank God every time I remember you. Always in every one of my prayers, praying with joy for your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, I am confident of this. He's giving them confidence. I'm confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue till it's completed. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Until the day of Jesus Christ, it is right for me to think this way about you. Because, and then he says, I hold you in my heart. For all of you are my partners in God's grace. And then he goes on to say, and this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what really matters. That was written a long time ago. How many of us get up every morning and say, God, help me to just do today what really matters? How many of our churches are just wondering, God, help us to know what really matters? Paul says that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine, or as we say in the United Church of Christ, discern what really matters. And finally, dare to speak the word with great boldness and without fear. And so he gives them a pathway. He says, you are God's people, and we do this work together. Together, discern the path that God has set you on to only do what really matters. And then when you figure it out what really matters, do it boldly and bravely. That deserves an amen, right? Okay, thank you. As your area conference minister, I was thinking about writing you my own letter and calling the sermon a letter to the Sandwichians. And then I realized that Paul's words were more powerful than I could create, more powerful than I could imagine. Because, friends, I do thank God every time I remember you. And I thank you for the partnership with me, with the churches of the association and the conference, and your ecumenical work with partners in the work of the gospel of love and justice. And I thank God for you because of the ways that you are living out this gospel of grace in this faith community and in this wider community, reaching out to others beyond these walls. Through your winter soup lunches, maybe I'm going to try to make it down here on a Wednesday, your work with the food pantry, the way that you are tackling the problem of unhoused people on Cape Cod through working with Cape Cod Habitat for Humanity and Here and Now Ministries. I could say so much more, and I also want to recognize and thank God for your pastors and the church members who are living out this covenant in active work with the association and with the conference. I want to thank God that your pastors are on the leading edge of association work on Cape Cod, and you allow them to do it, because you celebrate the importance of this partnership and covenant. Reverend Tina and Reverend Jenny serve on the Committee on Ministry. They offer their services as needed on the conference level. Reverend Jenny works overtime trying to make sure that information is gone from churches and networked and everybody knows what's happening and any new area, emerging need that there is work happening. So I thank God every time I remember you. And it is my prayer that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what really matters. This is my prayer for you, that you determine what really matters. Friends, we are coming out of, still in, not quite sure, this pandemic, right? We are still coming out of this and discovering what is the church now. Most churches are seeing very difficult challenges, experiencing difficult challenges, seeing changes, fewer families on Sunday mornings, smaller Sunday schools, depleted funds. Do I hear a little amen? No. Well, every other church except this church because of your fabulousness. But I'm sure that you see the changes from the pandemic. And we are at a pivotal time when new decisions need to be made, and maybe a time for establishing new ministries or sunsetting other ministries, and reaffirming your vision and mission so that everything you do is based on, come on in, kids. I'm coming around fourth base. Well, maybe I'm getting a third. Okay, come on.
You're in the home stretch.
Thank you. Let me see. Hi, did you read my, almost, right, you're right, okay. Does this make sense? To discern, to discover what it is that your church needs to do at this time and this place that really matters. And finally, Paul wrote, "Dare to speak the word with greater boldness and with greater and without fear." I just have to say, come on in, all of you. The big kids, the little kids. I want to just say this again because it's an important point. Paul writes, "Dare to speak the word with greater boldness and without fear." And just saying, that was a startling ask from the Apostle Paul. The early church in Philippi faced opposition, persecution, and a step out of line, a step of boldness, a step of bravery could land you in prison, as was where Paul was at the time, or could even cost you your life. And yet, Paul pleaded with them to be bold and be brave in sharing the gospel of love and justice through words and actions, and they did. And you know how I know? Did you read my sermon? Amen. They did, and all our forebearers brothers and sisters in Christ, did as well because we are here today. Friends, we stand on their shoulders. And on the shoulders of so many who have gone before and paved the way for us. And now, friends, it is our turn at this time and this place. So I ask you these questions, and I leave these questions with you, because they are questions that only you, individually and as a church community, can answer. I wonder what you would be able to do if you truly believed that you were unconditionally loved by God, that you were unconditionally worthy, and that you were destined to do great things for God. I wonder. I wonder what the mission and ministry of this church would look like if it was focused on what really matters and what really matters outpours love overflowing. And I wonder, what would you, could you do if you were truly brave? And let the people say amen.